Today on Gateway Unlocked.
We bring awareness of these issues directly to our customers. And sometimes we do that through the old fashioned way, right? Where it's an email and here's some data we've seen and, you know, what are your thoughts? Are you seeing the same thing? But we also have automated ways through franchise. And the most effective way we've seen is managing some of these KPIs through our data integrity program, right? And what's really cool about our data integrity program is it provides customers the ability to access their own data so they can see how they perform against our program thresholds.
Hi, and welcome to Gateway Unlocked, MasterCard Payment Gateway's podcast, where we connect with teammates from across the globe and organization on payment trends, innovation, and ideas that are shaping our business. I'm Ann Herrera, and today we're discussing the EMV 3DS 2.0 transition and what businesses need to be prepared for in October. For this topic, I'm joined by three amazing payment individuals in our industry. Nathan Franks, who's the director within MasterCard Payment Gateway Services, Mark Hay, a vice president in our Cyber and Intelligence Solutions Group, and Scott Patterson, a manager also within MasterCard Payment Gateway Services in our product development. Thank you guys. Thanks so much for joining us and in such diverse locations, which is incredibly exciting. And the fact that we were able to schedule this podcast with such ease among, you know, Australia and Europe and the United States shows the importance of the topic to the general payment industry and as a whole, but then also to merchants and businesses in themselves. And so I kind of just want to dive in and start with asking each of you, what is the most exciting aspect of the new EMV 3DS 2.0?
From my perspective, where I would start is why is 2.0 essential, right? Why do we need EMV 3DS? And I would start with the card not present space, right? So again, what do we know as a network, right? What have we seen over the last 20 years? We've seen that acceptance rates for card not present transactions is about 15 basis points lower than card present acceptance rates, right? So that's a huge gap, right, between card present, card not present. And we also know that card-not-present fraud is about four times more likely than card-present fraud. So when we get into this new specification version of EMV 3DS, I think the real question is, what are we doing to solve these gaps, right, between card-not-present and card-present? And what's really cool about the new specification is it really took into consideration 20 years worth of data, right, and all the networks coming together saying, hey, there's a real problem to solve here, right? How are we going to solve that problem? And again, you know, the takeaway for me is how we solve this problem is really providing, you know, all parties involved in the transaction more data, right? How can we get more data across the network to the issuer, right, to make really good decisions when we don't necessarily know, right, the cardholder on the other end of that transaction? Right. So it's the exchange of this data. MasterCard offers a lot of capabilities and solutions to enhance that data. And at the end of the day, it's giving the issuer more confidence, not only to authenticate that transaction, but the last leg of this, Ann, is do I have enough confidence to authorize that transaction? So it really comes down to the end of the day, authorization, acceptance, and lower fraud.
Mark, you hit on two of them, I think, is the most exciting points as well, is the amount of data available and the fact that, you know, 1.0 is over 20 years old. I mean, that's amazing. If you think of, you know, 2001, good gracious, some of us might have still been in high school. and yeah, we've definitely come a long way. So I love that. So yes, Nathan.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, a very exciting aspect for me as well. I mean, you know, if you think about EMV 3DS standard, you know, it's really been modernized and really continues to evolve to provide better authentication experiences for online shoppers. You know, moving away from that old static method of authentication and, you know, really enabling the mobile shopping experience. I think, as Mark mentioned there, you know, with this increasing data, you know, with any risk solution, the more data that we have, the better the accuracy of determining whether the transaction is risky or not. And I think that's a key element of the payment ecosystem at the moment is to not only improve that payment experience, but also reduce the fraud.
Yeah, and perhaps I can touch a little bit on, I guess, the cardholders' experience dramatically improved with the MV3DS. With all the data sharing between the merchant and the issuer, it enables, you know, that seamless checkout experience with the MV3DS compared to 3DS1. It was that, you know, your bank page popping up, which might not look too much like the merchant's checkout experience. So it was more friction for the cardholder during checkout. So with the MV3DS, it's able to offer that more seamless checkout experience, which is what ultimately improves acceptance.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to add on that, Scott, and I don't know if you're aware of this, but the new specification has over 100 data elements, whereas the old one only had 10. So we're talking 10 times more data. We're talking about data points like IP browser address, email address, shipping address, some really strong data points that not only help our risk models, but all these issuers have risk models as well. And to Scott's point, the best user experience when allowed is frictionless authentication. That's where, and you as a cardholder, you're actually being authenticated, but you're not being displayed any sort of screen, right, to ask you to enter a one-time password or a biometric. It's essentially looking at your profile, your consumer profile, and saying, hey, I've seen this account before, right? I've seen successful transactions. I know this is a safe transaction. And again, what we've seen, and it's been really positive so far, is really good performance with these frictionless authentications.
Yeah, I will say the amount of data within here, and as a marketing person, I love data and payment data. We had a podcast with Jeff Brown, who's a bit of a payment data geek. Is the amount of data here is massive and it's endless. And the opportunities are really, to quote MasterCard, priceless in a way. And even from just, you know, the EMV usage for authentication, which is incredibly important, hypothetically or hypothesizing, what about even using this data for just identification purposes in general and looking at that opportunity as well? Since we're starting down the data route, let's talk about that for a bit.
Yeah, a couple things about the data. So one, we use the data for fraud prevention and identification. So I do want to make it clear that this is for fraud prevention purposes. The other thing about the data is that there are certain things that we cannot store in the CLEAR, right? So we adhere to PCI, GDPR, all the local regulatory requirements within each market. So we are very sensitive about what sort of data we're able to collect, as well as what sort of data we're able to store. As well as what the consumer, as well as our principal customers, are aware in terms of what they're sharing, right, through our program terms and conditions. So we're very clear about those data requirements. But to your point, Anne, yeah, identification is a huge opportunity on the network. And when I think of identification, you know, I'm thinking of non-payment use cases, right? You may be applying for a loan, right? Mm-hmm. Or you may, you know, have another use case where you're not really trying to make a payment. And again, this is where the strength of our network can really enhance the outcome, right, of that particular transaction. Not only because of what we see at the time of the transaction, and again, Scott and Nathan would love to hear your opinion on this, but as to the network, what's more important is the historical, right, context of that transaction. What have we seen in the past with this particular account?
Yeah, I agree, Mark. And I think, you know, to your point about the data being utilized for risk assessments primarily, I think that's quite key in ensuring that the acceptance rates for those transactions is increased. You know, the more data that we can share amongst the players in the ecosystem, the better outcome for all of those players in that model. So, you know, from my perspective, I think, you know, EMV3DS is an essential layer in that multi-layered approach in combating fraud and providing that that acceptance rates. And by sharing that massive amount of data, it only improves the efficiency of, you know, risk solutions like you know, other players in the market, but also the acceptance rates.
The way I look at it is there's three really big benefits to EMV3DS 2.0, the new specification. You know, reduce fraud, which we've touched on just a little bit, increase the approval rates, and then improve the user experience. And as a consumer and someone who definitely does her share of e-commerce and online shopping and mobile shopping. What are some of the specific updates within EMV 3DS 2.0 that really support the better payment experience for that consumer?
Yeah, I think for the cardholders, at least, one of the big changes is native mobile support, right? Where customers are able to authenticate within a mobile app, and it will look and feel like that mobile app. It won't be the traditional 3DS1 redirect out to a bank using a web browser. It'll be seamless and in-app. So it opens up a whole new sort of segment for payment authentication within the 3DS network. And, again, will ultimately improve acceptance rates because customers won't be abandoning during that checkout process, which is so important for merchants.
Yes, absolutely. Especially as approval, as card abandonment rates really continue to rise. And you know, of course, it's multitudes of reasoning. Definitely offering that safe and seamless experience will definitely help merchants with their card abandonment rates.
Hey, and just that on top of that, because I don't know if you're aware of this or if the audience is aware of this, but with 3DS1, MasterCard as a network never saw the authentication outcome. We knew there was an authentication exchange between the merchant and the issuer, but we never saw the result of that authentication exchange. And you compare that with EMV 3S, now we're actually in the middle of that authentication exchange, meaning we get to see if there's cardholder abandonment, or we get to see if there's a failed authentication. And we get to monitor success rates as well as error rates and availability rates. So we have all these program KPIs that we're tracking. But the whole idea of that is we are playing sort of the referee in the middle, right? We have program rules on the issuing side to make sure that the issuer performance is meeting our thresholds. And we have KPIs on the merchant side, right? To make sure the merchants are doing what they're supposed to do. That's a huge benefit, right? Because with 3DS1, I always felt blind. And Nathan, Scott, I know from an MPGS perspective, you probably felt similar, right? You never quite understood, yeah. Like, okay, how does this customer compare to that customer? How does this market compare to that market?
Yeah, I agree. And I think you touched on a very valid point there, Mark, right? The abandonment rates, with the old protocol, it was definitely associated with that higher cart abandonment rates. And generally the longer the checkout process is, the more likely the customer is to abandon that purchase. And overall the 3DS technology means less checkout hassle for the customers, right? Shorter wait times, fewer passwords to remember, and most importantly, fewer steps for them to complete that purchase. So the visibility of that is essential and key to reducing that cart abandonment rates.
Yeah, now with 3DS2, since we're playing a key part between the merchant and the issuer, we're able to really narrow down and identify where there are particular issues to tackle them with, whichever side needs to address them, whether it's merchant side or issuer side, with MasterCard being the sort of key player. Just talk to the messaging and error messaging and monitoring of that messaging between all the different parties and how we're able to, you know, tackle some of those key specific issues and address them right at the get-go, rather than sort of us being unaware of what's happened in the ultimate end result of an authentication that we have with 3DS1.
I think that's fantastic. I mean, given the fact that we always want to put the customer at the heart of what we do, and yet we were doing it previously for the past 20 years, you know, really blind to what was happening behind that specific curtain. Now to be able to say, you know, we have the partnership opportunity. We are here for the issuer. We are here for the merchant. You know, we want to make you guys both successful as part of, you know, our mission and our vision and our values. And now we have really the data to help that. How are we, you know, looking at, you know, you talk about these KPIs, Mark and team, you know, how are we trying to help with the merchant or help the issuer as they're both implementing EMV 3DS 2.0, and now they're getting all this more data? How are we helping them, you know, make sense of it and meet those KPIs and really be able to grow?
Yeah, great question. Awareness, right? I mean, what we do collectively as a program in partnership with the markets is we bring awareness of these issues directly to our customers. And sometimes we do that through the old fashioned way, right? Where it's an email and here's some data we've seen and, you know, what are your thoughts? Are you seeing the same thing? But we also have automated ways through franchise. And the most effective way we've seen is managing some of these KPIs through our data integrity program, right? And what's really cool about our data integrity program is it provides customers the ability to access their own data so they can see how they perform against our program thresholds. And the idea there is not to punish, not to assess. There's a notification period where we give folks a 6-month sort of leeway to make the necessary corrections. But the point really is awareness, right? And what's really interesting, again, Anne, is how they compare to their peers, right? So, you know, and it's not easy, right? I'm probably describing like this is a really easy conversation to have with a customer. What it is actually hard work, right? You really have to figure out collectively, why is something not working, right? What is the smoking gun there? And again, I've seen really great partnership with both our franchise team as well as with our market teams in getting those conversations started with the customers.
I love the benefit about improving user experience. And I think it really kind of plays into the additional benefit of increasing those approval rates. And one of the things that I was reading in preparation for meeting with you very smart guys is, you know, looking at the flexibility with 2.0 and just the way it can flex into different user experiences, or I'm sorry, you know, different merchant experiences and different industries, different organizations. You know, what are some of the elements that really improve the decision making from 1.0 to this new specification?
I could take that one. Yeah. So, and by the way, and I don't know if I told you this, but I actually spent 2 years chairing the MB3DS working group as we wrote those specifications. So our team was responsible for publishing version 2.1 as version 2.2. And what we had in mind at the time, to your point, is flexibility, meaning can we support browser transactions? Yes, we've done that with 3DS1. Easy. Scott mentioned in-app transactions. That was completely new, right? And again, it all had to do with user experience, right? And be able to transact on your mobile app. And we know, right, as consumers, we want to transact on different modes, right? We're not always on a computer. Sometimes we're on the phone or the iPad. There's also this capability, it's called merchant-initiated transactions or MIT transactions, where you, the cardholder, may not be online, but you as a merchant may want to do some sort of account verification, or it may be a recurring payment. You just want to go ahead and confirm the subsequent transaction. So, you know, the new specification offers that flexibility for these different modes of transacting. But more importantly, again, my two cents is it really took into consideration local regulation, especially PSD2. Right. And we'll probably get on that in a moment. But what the specification really does is says, hey, not only am I going to give you flexibility, but I'm going to give you flexibility in a manner that says, you know what, if you have certain regulatory requirements in order to approve an authorization, we're going to provide you the means to go ahead and meet those local regulatory requirements.
Yeah, and I agree with that, Mark. I think it's an essential part of a business these days. As more markets start to get regulated, the players in the ecosystem need to abide by those regulations. And I think, you know, with strong customer authentication with the MB3DS allows them to actually abide by those regulations and implement those two-factor authentication mechanisms that a lot of the markets are seeing being regulated at the moment.
And perhaps one aspect and that you might not be aware of is some of the additional or alternative authentication options that MB3DS provides that are really offered to issuers. So we have the traditional one-time password. You know, something gets texted to your phone and you enter in the code. But MB3DS opens up a whole new world of authentication options, really depending on what preferences the bank, and they may be able to start using their actual banking app to authenticate users. So you get a message popping up in your phone saying, someone's trying to make a purchase for so much amount at a particular merchant, and you can choose to authenticate that transaction from your phone rather than having to do it during your checkout experience. That might be preferable for some issuers to use that sort of in-app banking experience, or they may stick with the more traditional authentication options like one-time passwords. And we're probably going to see more different authentication options open up as we continue to develop the specification.
And I'm glad we brought up PSD2 and just regulations in general. I'm surprised to still hear, within the industry and within events, et cetera, that there is still some hesitancy, perhaps, in moving to EMV 3DS 2.0. What would you do? You've got a captive audience of at least our customers and in general, just the payment industry. So you're literally in their ear. What would you tell these businesses on why they haven't upgraded to 1.0? Keep in mind, some will have to, of course. It's not an option in Europe. But, for the rest of the globe, what would you tell these businesses? What would you tell these merchants?
I think from my perspective, I think banks and merchants must really understand how 3DS affects their operations. I mean, merchants will face greater onus to the authentication of the customers to ensure that they're only dealing with real trustworthy consumers. And I think 3DS gives merchants the opportunity to demonstrate that they performed the additional checks to the authentication of the customers and customers' identities during e-commerce transactions. So from players in the ecosystem adopts 3DS, banks will also need to perform greater authentication and authorize a greater share of that e-commerce transaction. So they will intake more data as merchants transmit more consumer data for authentication, and will ultimately need to correlate the data and determine the transaction's risk riskiness. So I think there is a resistance just because of the as we spoke about earlier, the abandonment rates that was previously experienced. So there's a resistance from merchants in order to adopt the new specification. But overall, the technology does mean less checkout hassle for customers at the end of the day. So I think that's a key element for merchants, is to try and adopt it in order to improve that customer experience and acceptance rates.
More transactions. That's definitely a no-brainer for me.
We are decommissioning 3DS 1 this October, right? So we announced in June of 2020 to our principal customers that we were going to shut down 3DS 1. One, because it's costly, right? You can't operate two networks in parallel for that long. But two, to Nathan's point, we do see better performance on EMV 3DS. And I do believe the reason we see better performance is because of frictionless authentication, right? We are seeing more successful transactions being authenticated because of the rich data that's getting passed through the network, and these issuers having really good risk models in addition to our risk model. And that's the other thing I'll add in, is that on every EMV 3DS transaction, MasterCard scores that, right? We provide a risk assessment directly to the issuer at both the authentication as well as within the authorization. And that's not something you can do on 3DS1. So again, if you're a merchant and you do 3S1 today, please be aware that's going to decommission in October. We're asking them to get ready as soon as possible. If they haven't gotten ready yet, if they haven't started those implementation activities, they need to do that immediately. And more importantly is, once they do implement EMV 3DS, I would add, please monitor, right? It is different, right? You need to help monitor your results, provide us feedback, work with us. We're more than happy to work with you. But it is a bit of a journey, right? There is definitely a big difference between 3DS1 and EMV 3DS.
Yeah, I think Anne touched on perhaps merchant hesitancy moving to 3DS2. And I think one of the great things that MasterCard offers with its Identity Check Insights program is an easier way for customers to get on board with EMV 3DS, where the cardholder's experience will not be interrupted. They can sort of go through an onboarding process with 3DS2 and not interrupt their checkout flow whatsoever. So they can make sure everything is as they expect it to be in terms of their implementation, their acceptance, what their acceptance would look like. And then they can move to more of the traditional 3DS2 implementation once they feel are ready to.
Yeah, there's no denying that the new 3DS specification is really just a cutting edge, you know, online payment authentication. You know, we're definitely seeing the benefits from, you know, the data side, customer experience, improved card abandonment rates, and then also the decisioning. I think that's incredibly impactful from multitude of sides is understanding just the impact on the decisioning. I want to leave us with one last thing. Now that I've got you guys all, you know, excited and energized, this is my favorite. Now we're going to do the heavy hitter questions. What's your one sentence pitch? Okay, maybe I'll give you two sentences on how EMV 3DS will benefit the payments industry overall. We've talked about the merchant, we've talked about the issuer, we've talked about the consumer, but let's talk about overall and looking forward. And you got to do it in one or two sentences.
I think EMV 3DS really is a risk-based authentication, you know, technology and helps reduce fraud and brings huge savings as well as more confidence to consumers.
I like it. Yeah, I think that's incredibly going to be impactful on the payment industry.
I would say and flexibility. So the cool thing about EMV 3DS is that was developed within EMV 3DS working group, which has participation from 6 different networks, as well as over 100 associates and technical partners. So it's an industry effort, and that specification evolves. So they're going to publish version 2.3, I believe, later this fall, meaning that every couple of years, there's a new version to keep up with newer technologies, which is really positive for the industry.
I'd like to pause on that also and just reflect, because it also, in a way, it was such good timing. So EMV 3DS 2.0 was available in, was it 2018 or 2019?
2018, yep.
2018. And then we had such an impactful 2020. And we really did see that as a way that, yes, we all came together. And man, if hindsight, you know, was like, if we had had the opportunity to look in the future, well, one, we'd be in Vegas. But, you know, just for those merchants who were able to see that, you know, the evolution of e-commerce and getting all those digital transaction points and had made that transition to the new specification, you know, it was just so impactful. And it was such a good proactive specification to have in place before that happened. And then you talked about the collaboration across the entire payment industry. And that to me really showed during the pandemic. And I love how we're still seeing that in the industry, even though some of us are competitors, that we still have our customers and the consumers, you know, at the heart of what we do. So yes, I just wanted to reflect on that, Mark.
Yeah, I think for me, perhaps trying to wrap it up a little bit, it's reducing cardholder abandonment and ultimately improving acceptance.
I love it. That was succinct. And yes, you're right. Yeah, it is reducing card abandonment and improving the acceptance. And from all aspects of the payment ecosystem, that's very important. So you guys are talking about, you know, 1.0 is leaving come October 2022. For these businesses that, you know, they haven't prepared, that you're telling them to prepare for, they're in the middle of the preparations. What's going to happen after that date to those businesses? What's going to happen to their transactions? And what should they be doing now to really prepare for what's next?
Two things our customers need to do. So from the acquiring and issuing perspective, they need to complete their EMV 3DS enrollments with MasterCard. And what I mean by that is issuers need to enroll their 3DS1 account ranges onto EMV 3DS. And the good news, Anne, is that you can have your account ranged enrolled on both in parallel, right? So there's no issue if you have the same account range on both 3DS1 and 3DS2. And once that account range is enrolled, then our DS has the, you know, the logic to go ahead and route that authentication request to that issuer's solution. So again, issuer side, get your account ranges enrolled. On the acquiring side, you really need to get your merchants enrolled. And if you don't get your merchant enrolled, we are going to err against the transaction. And we recognize that process is a little bit different than other networks, but it's a really important step. And there's really good reason why we have that enrollment step. So again, if you're an acquirer listening or a merchant listening, please get your merchant ID, we call them merchant IDs, enrolled onto our EMV 3DS network. Now, the answer to the second portion of that question, and I'll turn over to Nathan to see if he has any additional comments, is that Well, what happens when 3DS 1 decommissions? We are going to essentially respond back with authentication failed, right? So the DS will be up and operational. You just will not see a successful authentication. And there was purpose behind that because we actually, as a network, want to see, right, despite all the communications and awareness and escalations, who's still hitting our network post-decommission date. So it's really important for us to have that visibility. Be aware if you do reach out to 3DS1 and you get the failed authentication, there's no liability shift, right? You, at that point, have two options. You can either resubmit as EMV3DS, or you can go straight to authorization without any cardholder authentication. What you're not permitted to do per our franchise rules, and again, just want to be clear on this, is that you're not allowed to drop the transaction just because you haven't performed this upgrade. So again, from an acceptance issue, it's really important for merchants to understand, again, two options, resubmit as EMV3DS, or unfortunately, you have to go to authorization without the cardholder authentication. You're not allowed to just drop the transaction.
Yeah, and I think that's quite an important point. There's no liability on those transactions. So it's essential for customers to start that journey, if they haven't started that journey already, to upgrade to the new specification. And on the gateway, we've got a new authentication API that allows merchants to integrate to make avail of the EMV3DS protocol. And by doing that, you know, depending on the how they prefer to process their payments, they can either do that through our direct authentication API, our hosted checkout platform, or our mobile SDK as well. And I think that that journey, if they haven't gone through that already, it's essential that they start that journey now, because as Mark mentioned, that the impacts of that will mean that they won't get that liability. And on the gateway side, you know, it's essential for them to do that because there are specific authentication rules that can be applied. And in the event of that transaction not authentication not being successful, those rules will take effect and potentially reject those transactions as well.
Last very question before we wrap it up is, what is next? You talk about 2.3, but you know, what do we think is next in the payment and under this specification?
Yeah, I would say not necessarily specification related, but I'll take the opportunity and to reiterate, 3DS1 is decommissioning. So if you're on 3DS1 today, you must migrate to EMV3DS, and we're here to help. So again, if you have questions about performance or how the specification works, please reach out. We're more than happy to answer any questions.
Yeah, and the same on our side, Mark. I think we collaborating quite closely in terms of the decommission of 3DS1 with all players in the ecosystem. So I think this is a collaborative effort, you know, across all of the players in that space. So yeah, definitely the collaboration is going to be essential for us to ensure that, you know, there's increased adoption of EMV3DS.
All right, wonderful, gentlemen. Well, thank you so much for joining us today on Gateway Unlocked, and we look forward to talking to you all next time. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you. Anne.